following message is from New Life Gillette Series Fitness. This week, Pastor Mike presents part two of this series.
Welcome to those of you who are watching online. Welcome to the guys over at the prison and to you here in the room. We are in week two of a series that's all about fitness. And I had the idea of this series when I was going to the gym one morning. And I thought, you know, going to the gym is a lot like going to church. Well, I personally think going to church is way more fun than going to the gym. But that's a personal preference. That's a personal opinion. But I think they are similar concepts. So we're spending some time comparing the two concepts in this series. Last week, we talked about delaying gratification. And what does it look like in our lives when we put off our desires until a later date? And how does that benefit us today and in the future? And today we're talking about spiritual fitness. We're talking about putting priorities over urgent things. But we'll get there in a little bit. So on the topic of going to the gym, I actually quit going to the gym. I started running on the treadmill in the morning instead. And so every single morning, this thought goes through my mind. What if I don't run today? Like, what if I just skipped today? And inevitably, if I just skip today, what happens? I just skip tomorrow and the next day. Because if I give in to the temptation not to run today, then I have opened myself, I've not only missed the opportunity to run today, I've also opened myself up to the idea that it's okay to skip today. And then I'll just skip today turns into I'll just start tomorrow. I'll just start my diet tomorrow. I'll just start running tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. This is the world that we live in. That is why habit and consistency are the keys to lasting fitness. A lot of people can, I'm good at this, lose weight if they want to lose weight or gain muscle for a short period of time. But how does it continue? How does it last? How do we invest in the future? The only way to do that is through habit and consistency. So when we're talking about spiritual fitness, why is it that if this is true, that every single Sunday across America, most people who call themselves Christians skip church? They wake up and they have this temptation, I just want to sleep in this morning. Actually, I could just watch football instead of going to church. And every single Sunday across America, most Christians decide, I'm just going to stay home today, and I'll go to church next Sunday, to which we all know next Sunday doesn't happen. We just keep putting it off. And I would argue that church is way more valuable than going to the gym. But the honest truth is, in America, most Americans don't do either of those two things. Today, in order to talk about this topic, we're going to focus on one passage, and this passage is found in Jesus' most famous sermon. Jesus' most famous sermon is called the Sermon on the Mount. It was called the Sermon on the Mount because he preached it while he was standing on a mountain. Plain. Somebody said plain. No. A mountain. Not a very creative name for Jesus' most famous sermon, but the reason why it's kind of called that is because what else would you call it? Like, it's just kind of all over the place. Jesus talks about everything in this sermon. I mean, there's no really central theme. It's Jesus's, I would say top 10 list, but it's more like top 100 list of big things. But if you were going to kind of summarize it all down to one topic, it's this: blessings. What do I have to do to be blessed? He said things like, blessed are you when you serve. To which the whole world's like, wait, hold on. When you serve? No. Because in their world, the more powerful you are, and the more control you have, the more money you have, then you're blessed, right? So he kind of flipped all this on its head. One of those is when he said this. He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else, above financial wealth, above all kinds of things. Whatever you could do in this world, seek God first and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So this is kind of a two-part thing. Seek the kingdom of God first, that's kind of the vertical, and live righteously, that's how we interact with people, that's how we socialize with people, that's how we treat people, vertical and horizontal. And if you do those things, everything else, well, you'll be blessed. Everything else, will be taken care of. Put the kingdom of God first. But Mike, I don't have time for that spiritual stuff. It just doesn't seem that important to me. But I know they say I should, so I'll just pray at home, right? I'll pray before I go to bed, and I'll start a prayer, and then I usually fall asleep before I finish the prayer. But I'll just do it from home, or I'll pray before my meals. And my generation is driving me crazy on this topic because my generation has started to call themselves spiritual. They don't go to church. They don't like the religious things, but they're spiritual. Usually they follow that sentence by like something like, I'm elevating my mind, or I'm becoming one with nature. I'm centering myself. And I'm spiritual. I'll just do it in isolation. Because the reality is, the center of all those statements that they make is me. It's a selfish spiritual. But here's the difference about Christianity. Christianity is all about relationship. You can't be a Christian in isolation. Because Christianity is a relationship. Relationship is what we do. It's who we are. It's our top priority. And so if we're talking about putting the kingdom of God first, we're talking about putting relationships first, right? A few weeks ago, the kids down in Kid Zone were doing an experiment. Have you ever seen Orbeez? No, apparently not. I'll tell you. Orbeez are this little plastic or something, rubber, something ball that you stick into water, and then when you put it in the water, they kind of expand, and there's a bunch of them, and then you put your hand in it, it feels really cool and like gooey and stuff. And when they expand, they kind of turn invisible. And so the experiment they were doing with the kids is to show that even when you can't see God, he's with us all the time, but you can feel him. And so they pour the Orbeez in, and they kind of grow, and then they disappear, and then to illustrate it. Well, they were letting some of the kids, take some of these Orbeez home so they could show the experiment to their parents. And so they each got a baggie full of Orbeez to show that sometimes Jesus is with us, but we can't see him, but we can feel him. And so one of the boys was leaving his class, and on his way out, he tripped. And the baggie fell on the ground, and Orbeez flew everywhere. And the kid goes, oh no, Jesus is everywhere! So what would it be like in our lives if we saw Jesus everywhere? That was a cool transition, huh? No. What would it be like if it was like our top priority? If it was like everywhere we looked, we saw Jesus, and the way we interact with people, and the way that we communicate with people, and the way that we communicate with God on a regular basis. Jesus was everywhere. So in Jesus' top 10 list, when he's talking about how we are to interact with people, live righteously, Jesus prioritized these things that just don't seem like they would naturally result in our blessings and us being blessed, but they do. And it's all about living righteously. It's all about social. So what does that tell us about our faith? We can't be spiritual without the church, because Christians need the church. Because the church is us. The church is not a building. The church is not a place we come. We are the church. You can't be a Christian without the church, because we are the body of Christ. A lot of us just don't have time for church, right? That's what we say. That's because we haven't prioritized it. We haven't made time for church. If we're going to be honest, all of us could fill in this blank. I wish I had more time to work out. I wish I had more time to spend with my kids. I wish I had more time to volunteer in the community. I wish I had more time to whatever it is. You would fill in that blank. You could probably come up with a giant list of things that you wish you had more time to do. But the reality is, I don't have time because I'm so busy. It's just too much to do in my life. We just came out of the 7 months where it's supposed to be that time where you like catch up on stuff and you get a bunch of stuff done. You do some relaxing. You regain your energy going back into the years. So why is it that every time I ask somebody, how was your summer? The response is, it was so busy. The reality is, the reason why it was so busy is because if we have time to fill, we fill it. This is our world. If we have time to fill with something, we are going to feel it. And so, I do the same thing. This is the reality of the world we live in. So if we are not intentional about what we fill it with, here's what happens. If we don't prioritize what we put in our schedule, we fill it with things that we feel like doing. Things that come easy. Things that are fun. Or just relaxing. Because how many of us can kill a day watching Netflix like that? Because if we don't prioritize our schedule, we just fill it with what comes easy, what comes naturally. The second thing, if we don't prioritize our schedule and decide what goes into it and letting our world decide what gets into our schedule, things that are urgent take over our schedule. Things that I got to get this done. I got to take care of this. I got to take care of this. And I got this long list. And I got to go here. And I got to run this errand. I got to take the kids here. Urgent. And this happens in two different ways. The first reason why urgent takes over is we didn't get it done before, so now it's late. This is called procrastination. I should have gotten it done before. I didn't get it done before, so now I got to hurry up and get it done. The second way that urgent takes over is I should have said no, and I didn't. I should have said no when they asked me to do all these things for them, or when they invited me to this thing, or when they said, oh, this would be fun. And I let their priorities take over my priorities because I didn't say no. This is why we know that fit people prioritize important things over urgent things. Fit people prioritize important things over urgent things. Mike, aren't those the same things? Aren't both of them needing to be done right now? Yes, they both need to be done right now, but they are not both the same things. Let me give you some example. If you are a business owner and you have an angry customer, taking care of that customer and helping them and making them not angry anymore is what? Urgent. That's urgent. I got to take care of this customer. I don't want to lose this customer. I got to take care of them. But doing things, setting up systems or changing the way you do things in your business to make sure people don't get angry in the first place is what? Important. So if we prioritize the important thing, we don't have to deal with the urgent thing later. Another example, if you get sick because you don't eat right or because you don't work out, because you don't get enough sleep, then dealing with your illness is urgent. I got to take my medicine. I got to get to the doctor. I got to do whatever it is, depending on what the illness is. Taking care of this illness, getting rest is urgent. But if you would have done what you needed to do up front, like work out and eat right and get your sleep and wash your hands after you touch your dirty kids, you take care of the urgent thing or the important thing first. You don't got to worry about the urgent thing later. Another example. And this is probably my favorite example. Life groups. You know, most people don't join a life group because they don't think it's urgent. I can do it later, right? I'll put off joining a life group because it's always going to be around. They're always going to be offering them. I'm just not going to do it this semester. But here's what happens. Inevitably, something urgent is going to come up in your life that you're going to need help with. Inevitably, you're going to face a downtime where you need friends to be there for you. You're going to face times when you need somebody to fight on your behalf. And if you didn't prioritize the important thing of developing those relationships by joining a life group, then you're in trouble when the urgent thing comes along. You can't even address the urgent thing that needs to be addressed. If you don't change the oil in your car and your car breaks down, taking care of fixing your car is urgent. Changing the oil in your car in the first place is important. Prioritize important things over urgent things. Seth Godin says it this way: if you take care of the important things, the urgent things don't show up as often. Take care of the important things, and the urgent things don't show up as often. But the opposite is never true. If you always are taking care of the urgent things, you never get to the important things, because there's too many urgent things that can take up your time. That's why spiritually fit people prioritize important things over urgent things. If I want to live a fit life, I must prioritize the things that are most important. And when it comes, for us Christians, when it comes to picking what is most important, we don't have to wonder, because Jesus gave us the answer. What's most important? Seek first. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Put important things first, and urgent things will come with them. And God will take care of the rest. If you seek God first and you prioritize righteousness or how you interact with people around you, the rest will come with it. Do we have time to take care of all the important things in our lives? This is a hard question. Do we have time to take care of all the important things in our lives? Absolutely, yes, we do. How? Because we all have time for what we choose to prioritize. We have time for what's important because we all have time for what we prioritize. The problem is we try to prioritize, or we think too many things are important. I'll give you an example. I don't see any naked people in the room. Every single one of you prioritized getting dressed this morning. Thank you. Because we know it's important, right? So we put it first. There is nothing more important for me before I leave the house to get done than putting on my clothes. And there's a lot of things that I would say is important, like eating breakfast and those type of things. But are they really that important? Not when you compare them to putting my clothes on in the morning. And based on the number of people who have been watching online lately, I would say that they've figured out that you can watch church in your underwear. It's not as good, guys. Get here. I've had too many of those dreams where you're in a crowd in your underwear. You ever had that dream? Okay, I'm the only one. That's embarrassing. Today, I want to look at a story that we read in the book of Luke. And this is a story that if you've been around church for a while, then you've heard it. But most of you probably have not. It's a story of Mary and Martha. It sounds like a sitcom. Mary and Martha are having some guests over. It's the most important of all guests. Jesus is coming to their house. And we read the story in Luke chapter 10. It goes like this. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And on a side note, when does your house look the best? When you're expecting company. This is true about our church. We expect company every single Sunday. We expect visitors every Sunday. This is why we work our tails off to make sure that we are ready for when the visitors come over. Every single Sunday is our Super Bowl. Every single Sunday we've got visitors coming over. And we make sure that we take care of them. Moving on, verse 39, Martha's sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. For Martha, the urgent took priority over the important. For Martha, the urgent took priority over the important. And I don't know for Martha it was because she was a procrastinator. Like, she should have had the meal prepared earlier in advance. They didn't really have refrigerators and stuff, so it probably would have been hard to prepare a meal earlier in advance. Or maybe it was just they didn't know that Jesus was coming over. But for some reason, the Bible tells us that this wasn't just a dinner. This was a big dinner that she was preparing. In other words, Martha's trying to impress some guests. And this is Jesus, so she's going overboard. She's preparing a Thanksgiving Day spread to impress Jesus and his disciples at her amazing cooking skills. I fall into this temptation a lot myself. I am one who likes to impress people, naturally. Most of us are. And I am tempted to do things that aren't necessary in order to impress people, to go above and beyond. When we have guests come over to our house becomes a wild zone, trying to get ready for the guests. Like, Lincoln is so confused because mom and dad are sprinting around the house and vacuuming, and Darcy lights the expensive candles. We put them in strategic places, and we play some jazz music in the background, you know, and make it smell good and stuff in the house. And we're going crazy trying to get everything ready until the doorbell rings. And after the doorbell rings, our going crazy trying to get everything ready turns into a, oh, stroll over to the door. Oh, hi, welcome. We didn't know you were coming over. We always have jazz music playing and the expensive candles lit in the house. And Lincoln's always sitting in the middle of the living room by himself with a single toy. And all of his toys are nicely in their places around the house and in their perfect position. This is how we live our lives. Welcome. Can I take your coat? Would you like some booties to put over your shoes? But Martha wasn't happy just impressing Jesus and the disciples with her preparation skills. She wanted Mary to help her impress Jesus and the disciples. So Martha tattles. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary knew that the most important thing that she could do is prioritize time with Jesus, to spend time with Jesus. She knew it was most important, so she put it first. This is the reality of our world. The best leaders aren't the best leaders because they do more than everybody else. The best leaders are the best leaders because they do more of what matters most than everybody else. And they don't do a lot of good things. Same is true in every area. Teachers. The best teachers are not the ones who do the most or have the most programs. The best teachers are the ones who do the most of what matters most, who have prioritized the important things most. The best parents don't do more than all the other parents. They don't wear themselves out more. They do more of what will most impact their kids than everybody else. They've learned to prioritize the important. The best bosses aren't the best bosses because they do more with their employees. They do more of what will help their employees grow and mature. And they mentor their employees wisely. That's why we should do the things that matter most first. This is kind of the definition of priority. Do the things that matter most first. Don't put them off because you enjoy them less or because they're harder. Do the things that matter most first. Because when you put off the things that matter most, when you delay them for later, good gets in the way of great. There's a lot of good things you can do with your time. There's a lot of really good things, but you gotta be picky, like really picky, like annoyingly picky. There's a lot of good things you could be doing. Don't do them. Find the great things and prioritize them. Do them first. As a church, this is a constant temptation because everybody's got an idea for a ministry we could do, or we could help these people, or we could invest in this ministry, or we could send to this missionary. There is plenty of options of really good things we could participate in. But there's only a few great things. How picky can we get to find them? Because the big difference between the churches that are really making a difference in their community are those churches who have figured out what is most important and they've prioritized it. The same is true about your life too. What else happens when we don't prioritize our time correctly? The urgent gets in the way of the important. Busyness gets in the way of what really matters. And then preferences get in the way of progress. The things that I feel like doing become a priority instead of the things that will actually help me to progress. So what did Mary put first? Spending time with Jesus. And this is kind of where we're going to land here today. As Christians, what do we put first? The kingdom of God. What do we put first? Spending time with Jesus. Watch this video.
If you've spent any time in a gym at all, you know that there are plenty of options of workouts to do, and that can make it overwhelming. So which exercise do you do first? Well, it depends on your goal. The first thing you have to do is determine your goal. If your goal is to get jacked, to get buff, you don't spend all your time on the treadmill. If your goal is to slim down, you don't spend all your time lifting the heaviest weight you can possibly lift. And the reality is, I have no clue what I'm talking about when I'm talking about this. So if I need to set some goals about what I need to do, I get a coach. I find someone who can tell me what I need to do to reach those goals. And I prioritize those things that help me reach those goals. The same is true about spiritual fitness. If you want to be spiritually fit, you must learn to prioritize time with Jesus. Because if we're putting important things before urgent things, there's no better example than our need to spend time with God when we wake up in the morning. Do it first. And there's nothing more important than going to church. And there's nothing more important than spending time with a healthy life group. Let's just be completely honest here. There are people who call themselves followers of Jesus. That's the definition of Christian. There are people who call themselves followers of Jesus who aren't actually following Jesus. There are too many followers of Jesus who don't do much to spend time with him. How do you follow someone that you're never with? How do you follow Jesus if you don't prioritize spending time with him? Now, if you don't call yourself a Christian, this isn't going to make sense to you. You're not going to prioritize something that you don't recognize as a benefit to you. But unfortunately, there are too many Christians who recognize the value of putting Jesus first, but they have allowed the urgent things in their life to keep them from the important things. Like many people who know they should go to the gym, who don't, many Christians know they should spend time with God in the morning, and they should know they should go to church, and they should spend quality time with a life group, but they don't do it because they haven't prioritized the things that matter most. And parents, do you know what matters? If you do, then teach your kids. Your kids matter. And I promise you this, nothing will do more to help your children become who they were meant to be than to see you setting an example of how to follow Jesus, of how to prioritize Jesus. Show them how to do it. Show them that you can wake up early in the morning and read the Bible and pray and do the most important things first. Show them that you're willing to skip a football game so that you don't miss a life group meeting. Show them that you're willing to go to church even when you've had a really long weekend and you just want to sleep in. That will develop in them a foundation that will last them their whole lives. And why do we prioritize Jesus? It's not for some legalistic reason or because your pastor told you that you should do it. It's because you need Jesus. It may not seem like it all the time, especially when your friends are going out to the lake on Sundays. It may not seem like you need him when your friends who's not a Christian gets a raise or buys a new house. But you need God because those things don't give us lasting happiness. The only thing that can give us lasting happiness is a relationship with our God, with our Heavenly Father. That's why Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need."
Prioritizing and finding the important things is very difficult. But for Christians, we have a cheat sheet. Scripture gives us pretty clear instructions. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Did you guys notice the guys behind me in that video were getting really tired toward the end? It's funny because I had screwed up like 10 times, so they had to do that over and over and over. All right, I want to get really practical here, and I want to give 4 steps to spiritual fitness. And I got clever, and each one of them have like a workout type theme to them. So here we go. Step number 1, stretch your comfort zone. Stretch your comfort zone. Take that step that you've been avoiding because it sounds hard. Build a relationship with somebody who you wouldn't naturally build a relationship with. Share your faith in Jesus to somebody who doesn't know that you're a Christian. Get out of your comfort zone. Step number two, warm up your faith muscles. Warm up your faith muscles. What is faith? Faith is doing stuff that just doesn't maybe seem natural, or faith is doing something that you're hoping has a good result, but you're not sure it will. So how do we do that? How do we warm up our faith muscles? 2A is pray. Pray for God to do something supernatural and believe that he'll do it. 2B is to give. Give until it hurts. Jesus talks about this idea of giving more than what you think you can give in order to see that he is faithful and how he can be faithful, and let him build your faith muscles by seeing how he has been faithful in your life. We're starting this 3-month tithe challenge next week. Tithing is giving 10% of your income back to God, which is a crazy concept. But we believe something really spiritual. We believe that God can do more with your 10% that you give to him than you could do with 100% of your money. And even more, we think that he can do more with 90% of the money you keep than 100% of your money. Because we believe it all belongs to God, but he has given us money as a test to see what we will do with it. To see, and he even says, test me in this and see if I will not bless you beyond what you can imagine. So we're talking about blessing. We've got to prioritize giving, prayer, and faith. And 2C is take risks. Do something big, something that you'll need God's help to accomplish. Like do something where if you ever accomplish it, you're going to have to say, it must have been God because I couldn't have done that on my own. Build your faith. And I hope that in your life, you begin, it's not going to happen overnight, you begin to see what it looks like to prioritize your relationship with Christ. Step number 3, push yourself to become like Christ. Sometimes we call ourselves Christians because we said some prayer at the beginning of our Christian journey, and that prayer was some kind of magical phrase that now we're in the Christian club and we got the get out of hell free card because we said a prayer. That's not what faith is. Faith is a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. And I'm not talking about do I get into heaven or not? I'm talking about, am I becoming who I was meant to be, who God created me to be? Because James 1:22 says, don't merely listen to the word, do what it says. Read the Bible and compare its instructions to how you're living your life. Biblical knowledge and understanding isn't enough. Saying a prayer isn't enough. The church I grew up in settled for just knowing what we should do. There's a next step. And that's becoming who you were meant to be. Do what it says. Step number 4 is rest in God's grace. Our tendency is to try to earn our relationship with God. That's why we say on a regular basis, Jesus loves me unconditionally. That starts at the beginning. You're not going to earn anything from God. You're not going to earn a relationship with him. You're not going to earn your way into heaven. You're never going to be good enough to get into heaven, ever. So quit trying to be good enough to get into heaven. This whole building our faith muscles and becoming spiritually fit and all these things that we can do to be spiritually fit, these things are not a way to get into heaven and to stay away from hell. These are things to help us to become who we were meant to be. Fit people prioritize important things over urgent things. Let's do that in our spiritual lives as well. God, today I thank you for how you are working in the lives of people in our congregation to become who they were meant to be. And I pray that you will help us to do hard things, even when we don't want to put important things over urgent things. And I pray for those people in this room who are kind of on the outside, who see this spiritual stuff as just unnecessary in life, and maybe they're here with a boyfriend or girlfriend or loved one or something, and they're innocent bystanders in this. And I pray that you will show them in their lives how much they are in need of something bigger than themselves. Speak to us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.